This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Mary Lucas as well as Carson Sellers with Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you today?
I'm back.
Well, it's good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long few weeks. I moved to Hillsboro, North Carolina, cute little, quaint little town in the area. I say the area, but it's not very close. But I love it. It's been a lot of work. But at the same time, I'm point of privilege right now. Healthcare is hard right now. And I just want everyone, if you know someone that's working in healthcare at a hospital, in home care, wherever they may be, just give them a hug. Because I think that, you know, we always live in this world of like, this is what working in healthcare feels like sometimes. But I think the distrust in our system has been feeding down to all of us who are in healthcare and working in healthcare every day and working it. And burnout is real. The holidays are hard. And I'm excited that we're going to be talking about caregiving because I know that caregiving is difficult, and especially around this time of the year. And I just feel that everyone around us is very stressed. So give someone in caregiving or healthcare a hug, and let's be kind to each other.
That's wonderful advice, and I think we can all make that happen as we get through the holidays here. Carson, I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for dutifully filling in while Mary was out.
Anytime. Yeah, Carson.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we are talking about caregiving today, and we are very pleased to welcome on to the show Mike Collins. Mike is author of two caregiver books, one being Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy, as well as Caregiver 101, 101 Ways to Keep Caregiving from Making You Crazy. Mike, thank you for taking the time to be on the show today.
Good morning. It's a delight. I'm glad to meet you.
All right, Mike. First, let's tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in your work with caregiving and writing the books and getting out there and doing this aging advocacy work that you're doing.
Sure. You know, my whole journey started, I was about waist deep in a swimming pool over in Chapel Hill. It was 1993, July 13th. Had about half a beer in my hand. I finished the beer, got out of the pool, dried off, and walked into my apartment to get another beer. And when I walked in the apartment, the phone on the wall was ringing. Yeah, hey, y'all remember phones on the wall?
Yeah, I was about to say, what are you talking about?
No, I know. It's like way back when. And it was my mother, and she was, in a very calm voice, explaining to me that my father had had a heart attack that morning, and she had called the EMTs, and they came and popped him about half a dozen times and brought him back, and they were getting ready to life flight him to Duke University Medical Center, which was about 10 miles from where I was standing right then. That was my introduction to caregiving. And as we moved through, my dad lasted about 8 months. I lasted about 90 days. I ended up over at my doctor's office here in Raleigh, and Dr. Gary Bean was a physician, my physician for over 35 years. In fact, he's retiring this month. And I walked into Bean and I said, hey, look, this is me. And I held up a sheet of paper with 8 signs of depression. And he knows I'm not into taking a lot of meds. And he started talking about, look, he said, here are some of the things you need to do to kind of ease through this time and keep your sanity. And I was intrigued by the fact of, I think I'm at least a minimally intelligent person. And I was intrigued by the fact that I didn't really know much at all about caregiving. As a male, I had kind of relinquished responsibilities and that sort of stuff to a lot of the women, to my mother. She took care of her mother, that sort of thing. You know, and I could see this stuff going on, but it never connected with me. I have a younger brother, 2 years younger, and all of a sudden, you know, it's Joe and me and Mama trying to take care of our dad. And so it really, I was doing a lot of writing and speaking all over the state. I do a lot of stuff at the Small Business Center Network and that sort of thing. And so I started delving into it, and I ended up at 50 years of age, going to Duke and getting a master's in with a focus on family caregiver wellness. And one of the things that came out of it was a video that won a national award from Today's Caregiver magazine. The video is called Care for the Caregiver. And it's just been an intriguing journey. My mom had her, you know, falling out in about 2013. She passed away in 15. So it was Joe and me taking care of my mother and going through all this stuff again. So it just seems to be one of those experiences in life, y'all, that if you're not prepared for it, and most of us are not, when it drops into our lap. And so, and that's where the whole interest came from. And I don't know, just and still kind of chasing it. And I'll tell you this, and I'll shut up for a while. I mean, I've been chasing this thing for about 30 years now, and I never talk about it that I don't get choked up. So as we're talking about this stuff, if I slow down a little bit, a lot of times that happens. And I just find it so intriguing that this has this impact on me. And it's one of those kind of mysteries in life that I just kind of keep moving towards.
No, I completely, I can relate to that, especially around the holidays. I was talking to my dad the other day, and my dad and I did a lot of caregiving for my grandfather, and he died 2 years ago, just last week. And I was talking to my dad at the anniversary of his passing, and I said, I'm thinking about Grandpa today. And he sent me a short story via text of a funny story that from our caregiving time when he got a electric wheelchair for the first time and ran over everybody in the hallway and pinned me in an elevator trying to make a 3-point turn and did not apologize to anybody that he didn't know where the brakes were and anyway, hell on wheels. He and my dad and I laughed about it, but then I put down my phone and I had a good cry about it. And, you know, in those moments, you've used the word crazy a few times in this conversation already. It's in your book. And I kind of felt crazy crying, but, you know, I want to talk about what is the deal with the word crazy? You've brought it up a few times now, and it's in some of your books. And let's talk about that word.
You know, a number of years ago, I was doing a presentation for about 300 folks about this. And the person who introduced me was a big dog with a health company. And, you know, God bless him. But he's, and you know who I'm, you know the type of person I'm talking about. He's one of these folks. He's one of these folks who has a lot of letters after his name.
And, we have those on the show.
Yeah. And I know his mom and daddy are real proud of him on that. And he was obviously proud of himself on that. So he introduced me, and he did a wonderful job of introducing. And he started to step away from the podium. And I got up from my seat and started to step to the podium. And then he stepped back to the podium. And he said, I got to tell you all this. He said, this crazy thing. He said, I just don't think it is a positive thing, blah, 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 and that kind of thing. All right, so I walk up to the podium. I got these 300 folks in front of me. And I said, let me ask y'all something. I said, how many of you are caregivers? How many of you been caregivers? And how many of you see it coming in your future? Well, out of 300 people, I bet you at least 250 people raised their hands. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask it like a Southerner would ask it. I said, how many of you think caregiving just makes you damn slap crazy sometimes? Out of that 250 people, at least 230 raised their hands. And the 20 that weren't raising their hands had their face in their phones, tapping away, telling somebody I had said that. But they agreed that, just what you said a second ago, that it's an experience that makes us crazy. Now, here's where the word crazy comes from. Back in the 1850s, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the wonderful writer, said that in our lives, we create what he called the vast background of our being. He said all the experiences we go through in life create kind of a support for us, that when we experience things in life, we reach back to that vast background of our being, and we call on those experiences and memories to be able to get us through. Well, 150 years later, a guy named Thomas More, who's a wonderful writer, he's an ex-monk, he's a psychotherapist, he wrote a number of books, one of which is called A Religion of Your Own, and he said there are experiences in life we run into that take us out of that vast background of our being, that it doesn't prepare us for them, and those things just make us crazy. Well, that's caregiving. Caregiving gets getting dropped into your lap. Very seldom do we have experiences and knowledge that allow us to just step up and handle this thing. So that's where the word crazy comes from. And you hit it a second ago. You know, that the crazy cry thing, Heck yeah, man. I mean, you're trying to deal with these things that a lot of times you just don't have the experiences or the knowledge to be able to handle.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real challenge, and we're going to continue our conversation here with Mike. We're talking about all things relating to caregiving and how it can be crazy, and we're going to continue our conversation right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com with your hosts, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong in the studio with Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers on the line with us today. We are very lucky to have Mike Collins with us. He is author of two caregiver books. One is Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy, as well as Caregiver 101. And that's what we're talking about, all things caregiving and how it can be a little bit crazy. And Carson, we kind of got Mike's backstory here of how he has become so involved and educated in this field. Where should we go next?
Yeah, absolutely. So in your most recent book, you talk about the five H's. Do you mind just going through that with us and how that relates to the caregiving experience, how that can be applied?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It's intriguing that when caregiving hits us, it's almost like a process. And a number of years ago, I came up with a concept that I call the five H's in terms of the way caregiving hits us and the areas where we need to be kind of aware. The first one is your heart, and that's emotion. Now, as I mentioned a minute ago, my intro to caregiving was the phone call I got from my mother telling me that my father had a heart attack. Well, when you get a call like that, the first thing that gets hit is your heart. I mean, your emotions, right? And so I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And, you know, is mom okay? And that sort of thing. So your heart is really the first thing that gets hit, and it almost like it's as if your heart kind of takes a beating continually through time. What y'all were talking about, crying, you know, even remembering your grandfather and having that emotional issue, that's your heart talking to you. The second one is your head. Now, this is when you start trying to logically figure out, what have I got to deal with to be able to handle this situation? When my mother made that call to me, immediately the thing that hit me was my heart, my emotion. But then I jumped into, okay, how's mama? How are we going to get mama up here to Duke? Because they're life-flighting daddy up here to Duke. How am I going to, and I'm logically trying to figure out and solve problems. Now, here's something you might find kind of intriguing. My thesis, when I did the master's at Duke and the focus was family caregiver wellness, they were so kind, they let me write a thesis about the difference in how men and women look at caregiving. Now, that's a general comment, and I get it, but hang with me. What studies have shown are that a lot of times women will look at caregiving from the emotional side. Mm-hmm. Well, let me put it another way. A lot of women will look at it from the emotional side first, whereas males a lot of times will look at it as a problem-solving type of situation. But after less than 2 years, what happens is it's almost like they flip, that women understand that there are tons of problems that you're going to have to solve in this situation, and males understand it's not just a problem-solving thing. It has to do with what's going on in my emotions. So it's kind of intriguing to see how that blends. So the first two H's are your heart and your head. The third H is your health. Now, if this thing goes on long enough, caregiving can impact your health, and it can impact your health incredibly negatively. Caregivers are known to not take their meds as well as they're trying to help that person they're caring for take their meds. 6%, the University of Pittsburgh did a study, 6% of caregivers die because of the stresses of caregiving. And it's not, I'll give you a great one. Caregivers are terrible about drinking enough water. Now, if you don't drink enough water, what happens is you start getting dehydrated. Now, what most people don't know is that when we get dehydrated, these little our skin dries out, and these little microscopic tears appear in our skin, which are openings for germs. So it's one of the things that means that caregivers get sick more often and faster than people who aren't caregivers. So that's your health. The fourth H is your home. Now, if you have a family, then you're trying to take care of the person you're caring for. You got people who love you, and you love them. You're trying to take care of them. I'll tell you who my heart goes out to right now, and that is those folks who are millennials and Gen X folks, because I'm 72 years old. I'm right in the middle of the baby boom bubble. So 20, 30 years ago, we were doing the caregiving thing. Well, now folks are taking care of us. But millennials and Gen X folks are taking care of parents, and they're taking care of kids. So, you know, a family caregiver who's got things running wide open at home, man, I'm telling you what, you let caregiving drop into their life, and all of a sudden they're running wide open. And then the final H are your hands. Now, I use hands as a way to denote work. So if you're still working, which most of those Gen X and millennial folks are, then you've got some issues there and stresses to deal with. Now, one of the intriguing things, though, is there are so many people now in your workplace who are family caregivers that if you go to your boss and you go to your coworkers and say, look, here's something I'm running into, a lot of times they are very familiar with those sorts of stresses. Now, I know this may sound odd, but I tell caregivers all the time, the best thing you can do at work, if you're a caregiver, is be a good employee. Do everything you can to be able to do your job the way it needs to be done, so that when you need to step up and say, hey, I'm going to need to take a little time off to go handle these other things, then folks are open to helping you and stepping up. But if your attitude is, hey, y'all have got to cover for me all the time and in every way, folks are only going to deal with that for so long. So the five H's are your heart, your head, your health, your home, and your hands. This making sense? What do y'all think?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Just after hearing some of the responsibilities that you have to juggle as a caregiver, some that you expect, some that people wouldn't think about, such as travel plans and things like that, what are some strategies that you recommend for someone feeling overwhelmed with these caregiving duties?
You know, a couple of things, and let's look at it kind of maybe from two different directions. They're long-distance caregivers are people who aren't going to see that person they love on a regular in person on a regular basis. So let's say that Mama lives in L.A., you live in Raleigh, or you live in Charlotte, that kind of thing. There are some different stressors there. You've also got to start asking yourself, who else can help? If you have family members and they're willing to step in, then that's a way that you can kind of help deal with some of this stuff. Now, from a personal standpoint, I'm going to give you a thought that you're hardly ever going to hear from anybody else. I tell every caregiver I come into, you need to figure out what your 10 favorite songs are, and you need to get them on your phone, because music can change. I mean, hey, you guys are in the media business, you know, the stations and stuff. The music can change your mood faster than just about anything else. And if you've got about 10 songs that kind of bring your spirits up, then you need to get those things on your phone. I ask people all the time, what do you do when it just gets after you? And I've had people tell me everything from I walk outside and take a walk. I had one person tell me, she said, I go outside and sing something. But I've had people say, I listen to a song. People a lot of times from a visual standpoint have some things visually around you that lift your spirits. Things that you can look at, and it makes you feel more positive. Now, it may be that photo album of you and grandfather and that sort of stuff that you can kind of flip through and you remember those good times, those sorts of things. All those things hit your emotion. But from a logical standpoint, you got to start thinking about where's help coming from. You know, are there folks around you, family or friends or whatever, who can kind of step up and give you a hand?
I think that that's something that caregivers really struggle with. And as we go into the next segment here, I want to touch on that a little bit. You're not alone piece. I think that a lot of caregivers really struggle to ask for help. I mean, we all do, you know?
Yeah, it's easy to fall into that trap of feeling isolated because, mm-hmm. you know, it is such a heavy burden. But you are right that knowing that you're not alone really does go a long way. We're having a conversation with Mike Collins. Mike is the author of two caregiver books, Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy and Caregiver 101. We're going to continue our conversation with him right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, AM 680. WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Transitionslifecare.org. It's a wonderful resource for you. So much information as well as ways to connect with the community, volunteer, employment opportunities. Go to transitionslifecare.org to learn more. I'm Jason Kong in the studio with Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care. Our guest on the line is Mike Collins. Mike is author of two caregiver books, Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy, as well as Caregiver 101. And we are talking about all things caregiving. And Carson, just before we went to break, you know, we were having a discussion on how it's important to know that you're not alone when it comes to caregiving. And we want to kind of hone in on what care can look like in any sort of caregiving scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just talking about that feeling of isolation that it's easy to get when you're putting yourself behind someone else's needs. What are some ways to maintain connections with friends and family while immersed in these caregiving duties?
You know, the way you've asked the question, let me kind of go in two different directions. One, it is easy to start feeling more and more isolated in terms of staying in touch with family, staying in touch with friends, because you're pressed for time a lot of times caring for that loved one. What I tell folks is do not expect everybody you care about and love and that sort of stuff to be as interested in this thing as you are, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's not their family. In most cases, not their family member. And what they'll find a lot of times is when you're with them, all you're talking about is how stressful this caregiver stuff is and how you feel bad and blah, 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 blah. And after a while, they get tired. A lot of them get tired of hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, something as simple as connecting with your friends and asking them how they are. You know, one of the things it will do is it will take you out of your head a little bit and to hear about what's going on with them. Now, here again, you know, there's an old saying that says that most of us are the average of the five people we spend most of our time around. You need to kind of start looking around and see, are you hanging out with some folks who are negative?
Mm.
And they're going to make life even more difficult for you. If you have people in your life who are positive, who make you smile, make you laugh, and that sort of thing, then make sure you stay in touch with them. Now, one of the cool things about nowadays is it is so easy through texting, phone calls, all that stuff, to stay in touch with people. I've got friends all over the country, and I text them on a pretty regular basis. One of the things that I would push anyone to do is come up with a list. Come up with a list of those folks who you want to make sure you stay in touch with and kind of zap them. Just zap them, say, hey, you know, here's what's going on, that sort of stuff, and keep them in the loop. Now, the other side of this, though, is where might help come from in terms of helping you with your responsibilities. What you need to do is start at the core, start with you, and kind of start spinning out in this little circle that gets wider and wider. So now by that, I mean, from a family standpoint, who do you have who's going to help you? One of the things I've found so intriguing is the dynamics of families has a lot to do with how well they're going to deal with caregiving. Because you'll have some family members who they just are not going to step up. I mean, for a variety of reasons, you know. And so, but then you'll have others who will surprise you. And they'll step, you wouldn't have expected them to step up, but they do. So that part of that, and one of you mentioned a little while ago, sometimes it's hard to ask for help. You need to have what we as Southerners call a come to Jesus talk with folks in your family and say, okay, here's what we're running into. Here's how we kind of need some help. What you may find, you know, that brother or sister who lives on the other side of the country, they can't be here all the time. But what they may be able to do is contribute a little bit financially. Or once or twice a year, maybe they can come for a few days. And that gives you a couple of days to maybe take a little vacation or relax and that sort of stuff. So look close to home for help first. Then when you're kind of starting to widen it out, if you need professional help, the North Carolina Association of Home Care has a ton of resources, and they can kind of point you in directions. If you go to the website for Transitions Life Care, there's a lot of really great information that kind of points you in some ideas and maybe ways to think about where help might come from. AARP, their site is loaded with information and suggestions that can help. North Carolina Council on Aging is another resource you can reach out to kind of think about this. Now, going back to my kind of close to home theory, if you're someone who's been involved with your church, I will tell you this. Lucas said a minute ago, I thought you had a great quote. You said it's almost kind of like we're kind of late coming to this game or something like that. You're right in that we're seeing over the last 20 years, a lot of church, almost every church now has a caregiver group. And if you don't have family members who can help, if you've been involved with your church, then a lot of times there's a group at your church who may come in and offer some help, maybe stay with that person you're caring with, caring for a couple of hours and that sort of thing. But I'm going to tell you from personal experience, if you're not involved with the church, usually they've already got so many folks asking for help, they can't help folks who are outside of their circle. And it doesn't mean they don't want to. They just don't have the resources and manpower to be able to do something like that. But the folks that my heart goes out to are people who won't ask, and they just, you know, they're not out looking for help and where might this help come from. And they're expecting some either government agency or some dropping out of the sky who's all of a sudden going to make their life okay. When we hit caregiving, here's one of the killer things. What we really want is we want our lives to be what they were before this experience came along, and we don't want it to cost us a dime. And the more we understand that ain't going to happen, the more we understand that reality, and the faster we understand it, the better off we are.
That is very helpful.
Is this making sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And folks, we did not pay him for all those plugs that he gave us earlier in that conversation. just want to throw that out there.
No, but y'all do have real wonderful resources and just information that folks can really take to heart. And there are a variety of resources out there for you, but you got to kind of start looking around. And that's one of the things I was mentioning this earlier. When you're dropped into a caregiving experience, the emotion a lot of times is so strong and the stress is so strong, it really has an impact a lot of times on your thinking, on your head. And to be able to step back and logically say, okay, where might information come from? A lot of times it's hard to know where that is.
Oh, definitely. You know, real quick before we go to break here, and I want to talk about the holidays in our next segment. But before we go on to that, the more you talk, I'm hearing a lot about technology across a couple different of your answers.
Yeah.
I feel like technology, as much as we hate it sometimes, can also play a role in helping the caregiver as well.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. Years ago, and I always think it's kind of interesting. Years ago, the CIA and some other security agencies all around the world,
started using mini cams to spy on people. Well, what started happening is the companies that created those things started thinking, well, who else needs to be spied on? So what happened is a whole line of what started to be called baby cams came out. And people were putting these little cameras in the nurseries mm-hmm. so that they could kind of check on the kids. Then it made a jump to mama cams. And people putting cameras in their parents' homes, parents who were needing to be cared for, so that they could kind of watch and make sure that mama was okay walking around in the house and that sort of stuff. And that is a technology that's really kind of exploded over the last decade or so. It's really kind of cool stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Mike Collins, author of two caregiver books, Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy, as well as Caregiver 101. More with Mike right after this. We're going to pivot our discussion towards caregiving over the holidays. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5 and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, and Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680 and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Jason Kong.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers in the studio. On the line with us is our guest, Mike Collins. Mike is author of two caregiver books, Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy, as well as Caregiver 101. And we are talking about all things related to caregiving. And we've covered a lot of ground so far in the program. But before we wrap up today, we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion, Carson, related to caregiving over the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked a lot about how caregiving is difficult in general, but obviously, over the holiday season, the demands of caregiving changes. And just what are some of the unique challenges that caregivers can face during the holiday season?
Sure. You know, here's the thing. What we want, you remember I said a second ago that what we really want with caregiving is we want everything to be normal, but mm-hmm. something or someone to come in and handle all that stuff. When those holidays roll around, we want the holidays to be normal. But we've got these caregiver responsibilities to step up to during the holidays. Now, here's what I'm going to say is going to sound a little bit selfish at the first, but hang with me. You got to figure out what can you do during the holidays such that you get to celebrate the holiday and that it matters to you. I'll tell you this. My mother had a phrase that she used, you take care of you, which I think is the central idea as far as caregiving is concerned. And she said that to me from the time I was 5 years old, going out to some friend's house to spend the night and camping out in his backyard. She would say it when I would get on a bus to go play a football game. It was the last thing she said when she hugged me at Carolina to drop me off for my freshman year. It was also one of the last things she said to me that I could hear before she passed away. Mm. When you think about the holidays, how do you take care of you? Because you've got these responsibilities you've got to deal with. Now, I got to tell you, I am an all-time, all-in, big-time Christmas lover. I was Santa Claus at North Hills about 35 years ago.
No way.
For a weekend. And I'm telling you something. If you want an experience that will teach you about human beings, be Santa Claus. Be Santa Claus for 2 hours at a mall. I'm telling you. But a couple of things, and this may sound simplistic, but what are your favorite Christmas songs? And play those things and play them on a regular basis. If there are movies that connect you with the Christmas spirit, do that. I just saw last night, there's a new one out called Red One with Dwayne Johnson. It is one of the wildest Christmas movies. It's about Santa Claus being kidnapped. And it's just that. It's wild. But anyway, you know, all the old Christmas movies, but think also, if the person you're caring for, and now this is going to sound maybe bad to say it, but if the person you're caring for is conscious most of the time and they can communicate with you, mm-hmm. ask them, what would you like for us to do at Christmas so that you can enjoy Christmas too? Now, what that's doing, now I'm getting choked up telling you about this. What that does is it shows you care. Mm-hmm. And that is the essence of caregiving right there. So what can you do for them? Now, they may be one of these people that complains all the time and that sort of stuff. Fine. Listen to them, flow through, go back to those things that lower your stress level and help you enjoy the holidays. Are there people they can have around them that remind them of the holidays and of Christmas? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, what you need to do, though, is you need to take care of yourself, but you also need to try to start asking yourself, what can we do to help this loved one move through the holidays and do it? And because, it, you know, if they're conscious of all this stuff, they're stressed too, and they know that they're causing you stress. Mm-hmm. And different people deal with that stuff in different ways. I will also say this. Try to keep your financial investment as far as the holidays. Try to keep that kind of down. A lot of times our stress will push us to believe that the bigger present we buy, the better it is, and all this other stuff. That's just not true. The main essence of Christmas is the time we spend with folks and that spirit. And the more you can find a way to celebrate those things, the better off you're going to be. So what it really comes down to is, what are the things that really matter to you in the holidays? What are the things that really matter to that person you're caring for? And trying to find kind of a good space there where you're both getting what you need out of the holidays. I will say one last thing. If you look at what the real spirit of Christmas is and you understand that and you celebrate that, then it comes back to you. Mm-hmm. It'll come back to you. What do y'all think?
No, I completely agree. I'm the more you talk about this, the more I'm thinking about my experiences over the holidays when my grandfather was around. And I was talking to my dad about this, and you know, his facility where he was always had a meal at the holidays, and they had like a Christmas lunch or a Thanksgiving lunch. It was never like a dinner thing. But we would go over there for lunch, and the facility cooked up like, you know, something for the families to all come, and you had to make a quote reservation, and we all sat and had lunch with him. And I always remember leaving feeling a little bit guilty. Although we went and had a wonderful lunch and we spent extra time with him, but we also had to leave to be able to do other holiday things. And I always felt guilty leaving.
Right.
As a caregiver, because you never want to leave someone on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. You want to stay with them, but you also have to do things for yourself. And I just want, could you touch on that a little bit, on how to manage maybe that guilt of enjoying the holidays, but also being a caregiver and helping other people at the same time?
It comes down to a simple phrase, and the simple phrase is, golly, I'm getting choked up again. The simple phrase is, I'm doing what I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing what I can. And you've got to accept that. The caregiving experience is one that you're going to have those ups and downs. And the ups and downs are going to range from Mount Everest mm-hmm. to whatever that trench is that's the deepest place in the Atlantic. It's going to feel like that. But if you kind of keep focusing on, I'm doing what I can, mm-hmm. I'm doing what I can. Now, I will say this, different people do this in different ways. I know caregivers whose attitude is, just get through it, just get through it. And if that's what you have to do to be able to move through, and now it's January 2nd, and you're rolling into the year, mm-hmm. then that's your way of doing it. But what do you do to just get through it, or keep telling yourself, I'm doing what I can. I'm doing what I can. And make that okay for yourself.
I love that. I think that also a big part of it, I was thinking as well, as the boundary piece and having healthy boundaries and being able to say sometimes, like, I just can't do it.
And
I think that that's healthy too.
Mike,
you've
given us such a great amount of insight and perspective and suggestions over the course of the show here. If folks want more of that and want to connect with you or find your books, what's the best way to do that?
Two things I would suggest. One, if you go online and you go to caregivingcraziness.com, caregivingcraziness.com, you can see the video, lasts about half an hour. It's called Care for the Caregiver. There are about 150 blogs. It'll show you the books. The books are available on Amazon. There's nothing else on Amazon that connects the two words caregiving and crazy. So if you punch those two words in, they'll pop up pretty quickly. But anyway, you know, the thing I haven't figured out how to do is swap out on the Amazon stuff about the author page, swap out my head for Tom Cruise or Chris Hemsworth. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. But yeah, that's if folks want to check out the books or check out the videos, if they go to caregivingcraziness.com, then they'll find some information.
Wonderful. Caregivingcraziness.com. And the books, again, are Caregiving Can Make Life Crazy, as well as Caregiver 101. All that information, again, available at caregivingcraziness.com. He is Mike Collins. Mike, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Guys, you're a delight. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. Good luck to folks, and y'all have a wonderful holiday.
We will do that, and we hope you do the same. We are out of time for today. On behalf of Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers in the studio here today, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.